Look at Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew 24. I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. I want to share a message entitled, They Shall See the Son. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 25. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a shout. He shall send his angels with a great shout of the trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this time of the year where we focus on celebrating the birth of Christ, the coming of the Messiah into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts in a great way today as we look at and consider the coming of Christ into this world. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here not saved, that you would touch their heart this morning, Lord, and they would come and receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, how we long in our hearts truly to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus. So send thy Holy Spirit upon us, enable us, Lord, to have our attention completely on our God. Bless us and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 30. Says, then shall this appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. They shall see the Son. Christmas is always an exciting time of the year for various different reasons. Everyone has their kind of different idea about what Christmas is, and certainly children are thrilled and excited about Christmas, and the world seems to be excited, and certainly businesses, consumers are excited about making money at Christmas time. But for the Christian, it really is a time of celebration in regards to the coming of the Messiah into this world, the Savior who came to provide an opportunity for us to be saved. And yet the world has absolutely no idea what Christmas is all about. And someone may have been taken to church when they were younger. They may have heard about Christ maybe in Sunday school. People get away from God and are not in church. Their children are raised apart from the Lord. And really, we've created an environment that absolutely is completely ignorant about what Christmas is all about. And the coming of Christ into this world is the reason for the celebration of Christmas. It is rejoicing in the fact that God had promised that he would send his Son into this world, and Christmas is the opportunity for us to express praise and celebration in reference to the coming of Christ. Really, the coming of Christ in this world is a threefold event. And the threefold event, first of all, involves his birth. And certainly, when Christ came into this world, it says in Matthew 1:23, says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And when we think of the birth of Jesus Christ, that identifies for us the reality of the Lamb that would be sacrificed for man's sin. Because he would come into this world as the Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. In verse 21 of Matthew, says, "Ye shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so when we talk about the reality of the coming of Christ into this world, we have to acknowledge the fact that he did come as the sacrificial Lamb of God. He came as a means to be able to deliver man, redeem man from all of his sin, because he would take all the sins of man upon himself. So the first aspect of God coming into the world, Christ coming into the world, is in reference to him as a lamb being sacrificed for man's sin. Well, the second aspect of the return of the coming of Christ into this world is in reference to the rapture. And the rapture is simply an acknowledgement that the shepherd is coming to gather his church. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And so knowing that literally Christ has come into this world to come to return to bring his sheep, his church, into the heavens to be with him, never be with him, where he prepared a place for us. And so we know the first coming, the first advent of Christ is his birth. The second advent of Christ is a twofold part as far as the rapture and the second coming. The second coming, according to Matthew chapter 24, where we read in our text, tells us very clearly, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." When he comes at the rapture, nobody will see him other than believers that will be caught up to glory. But this says this, "Then shall all the tribes of the earth will mourn." It will not be an exciting time when Christ comes for those who are lost and who have rejected Christ. The world will mourn when they realize all they have lost and the reality of the judgment of God coming upon them. He says, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So the second coming of Christ is that he's a king that's coming in great glory. And he's not coming as a humble baby in a manger. He's not coming as the lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world. He's coming as the great God and the great king, the coming to rule in the reign over his creation that he has created. And so the coming of Christ can be comprehended in three aspects of the coming of Christ. Certainly the shepherds and those that were around when Christ was born, the announcement was made, were able to see the Son of Man coming into this world. The world rejected that opportunity. And now in the days that we're living in the age of the church, we have an opportunity to acknowledge Christ as our Savior. And one day when the trump of God will sound, we will see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But it's beyond that, he's coming to rule and to reign on this earth, and that'll be accomplished in his second coming when he comes as a great king, coming in great glory. And so they shall see the Son. People try to reject the reality of Christ. They try to ignore the reality of acknowledging who Christ is, but everyone will one day see the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it'll be the Christian standing before the judgment, before the great, not the great white throne judgment, I just lost my mind. What is it? Judgment seat of Christ. There it is. Whether the Christian is standing before the judgment seat of Christ, or whether the unsaved is standing before the great white throne judgment, Every person is going to see the Son of God. He's going to see the Son of Man, and they'll have to give an account unto Him. And so they shall see the Son. First of all, I want us to think about, from our text verse in Matthew 24:30, a conscious coming. Notice it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." And so it goes on to say, "And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn." So there's a conscious awareness of the coming of Christ. And there's a conscious awareness and when Jesus was born so many years ago in a manger. We think of Joseph and Mary's experience in Matthew 1:18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And just thinking of the experience of Mary and Joseph, the thrill, the excitement of being engaged, espoused to one another, planning to live their life together, and all of a sudden Mary as a virgin is found with child. Now, we're going to be talking about that in Sunday school, so I'm not going to expound too much on that. But it's a very amazing statement when it says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The experience that Mary and Joseph had was completely different than any experience anyone else has ever had or ever will have. And we need to be aware of the fact that we must have an experience where we encounter the living God. In order for us to be saved, in order for us to enjoy the blessings of God, there must be an experience where we acknowledge who He is and receive Him as our personal Savior. So we think of a conscious coming of Christ. In the Gospels it says this thing was not hid. This was not done in a corner. When Christ came in the world, there was an opportunity for people to see Him and to receive Him as their personal Savior. So I think of Joseph and Mary's experience. But I also think of the shepherds and the wise men's encounter with Christ. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 15, we read about the shepherds being and seeing the angels and the angels announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. And they would go to Bethlehem to see what has taken place. I think of the wise men in Luke 2 and 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews?'" And so there was a consciousness of the coming of Christ. You are aware of the fact that the children of Israel had prayed for the coming of the Messiah. For 400 years, God had kept silence and did not respond to the pleas that they had. But now Jesus has come into the world, and He has come into the world with fulfilling the promise that God would be with His people. The wise men come to confirm that as they are looking for the King of the Jews. The shepherds are coming into His presence rejoicing because the Messiah has been born. They had a great encounter with God. When I read through the Bible and I read about different people's experiences and encounters that they have with God, I want that type of an experience and encounter myself. I want to know that God is who He says He is. I want to know that God is real, and I want to experience God in a very practical way in my life. There's a conscious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Joseph and Mary's experience, as shepherds and wise men encounter, but there's the world's resistance. The world always rejects and resists who Jesus Christ is. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, the question is very clear. It says, "Is not this the carpenter's son, and not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And so the world rejects and they resist who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And listen, it's no different in the days that we live. The world does not want to acknowledge who Christ is. In Mark chapter 15, and verse 20, tells us, "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out and to crucify him. The world's resistance to Christ. You know, it's amazing to me. People, I just read of a story of a teacher, a substitute teacher, said something about Santa Claus not being real and everything. And oh man, the whole school's in an uproar because somebody said that. Now, nobody gets upset when teachers stand in the classrooms and say Christ isn't real, that you don't have to worship God, you don't have to get right with God. Nobody gets upset in the world when they reject and resist all that Christ is and what we're supposed to be. It's amazing to me. Christians resist the commands of God and refuse to follow their master and their Savior, Jesus Christ. But the reality is there is a conscious coming, whether it was Mary and Joseph or the wise men or the shepherds or the world in the days when Jesus will return and come. The world has got to acknowledge the reality of who Christ is. And so there's a conscious coming of Christ. Notice there's not only conscious, but I want a compared coming of Christ. It says, then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. And the difference of how when Jesus came into this earth the first time compared to the way that he'll come the second time is an amazing evaluation and look at here this morning. First of all, he was unnoticed by the world. And the world did not desire to know who he was. The world did not pursue to comprehend who he was. The world in which we live in today does not care about who Christ is. John 1:10 says he was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And when Christ came into this world to be the Savior of all mankind, he created everything. He created every individual, but the world knew him not. And the world is ignorant of who Christ is. However, when he comes again, the second time, our text verse tells us that every eye shall see him. And he's not going to be hid from them. They may try to deny him. They may try to hide in the corners, but where can they hide from God? And they're going to have to give an account of their life before him. So the first time he came, he was unnoticed in the world. But the second time he comes, every eye is going to see him. Not only that, but the first time he came, he humbled himself being born in a manger. And the shepherds, when they went to the manger, went to Bethlehem, they wanted to go and see and confirm what had taken place. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one towards another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so he comes with the very humble beginnings. He comes being born of a young virgin girl, Mary, and his beginnings was that he was swaddled and cared for in the manger where animals are kept. So he came very humble to be born in the stable of Bethlehem. However, when he comes again, according to Revelation 19 and 16, he's coming as King of Kings and he's coming as Lord of Lords. And hallelujah, what a Savior. He is the King of all kings. There is no king like Jesus Christ. And he is the Lord of all. And there's a spider coming after my notes up here. Amen. So shoot him down there to Dave. And so he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's going to be amazing event when Christ comes and all those who laugh and mock the name of Jesus when they have to stand before the King and the one who is absolutely the Lord and the Master of all. The first time he came, he endured great mockery of men. And how the world likes to mock and ridicule the Christian. How the world loved to be able to question and mock the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 64 tells us that when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy who it is that smote thee. They're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to endure such abuse by those who would falsely accuse him. He endured the mockery of men. He was despised and rejected, it says in Isaiah 53 in verse 3, of the Son of God, the very glory of heaven, the one who was worshiped and adored by the angels on high, is now among his creation, and he is despised and he is rejected. He allowed them to put him to death. You know, no man takes his life from him, but rather he lays it down and takes it up again of his own self. Luke 23 and verse 33 says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, on the one on the right and the other on the left." And Christ, listen, he could have called 10,000 angels and he could have destroyed every person that mocked him and ridiculed him, but he willfully allowed himself to be abused that he might suffer and die for the sins of all mankind. So he allowed them to put them to death. Not only that, but he provides salvation to all. In verse 34, Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the amazing thing is, as man rejects Christ, let's remember, even today, people reject Christ. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're rejecting. They don't know what they're giving up or what they're turning their back on. But we must present to them who Christ is. So his first coming, he provides salvation for all. The second coming of Christ, all mockery will cease. Oh, there'll be nobody laughing when they have to stand before the Lord. I remember years ago, I was witnessing this young boy, and he was laughing and making fun of me and mocking me. And I looked at him and said, "Young man, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. One day you're going to need a preacher, and you're going to need a preacher to stand over you and place your body in the grave." There'll be no laughing and mocking at that moment in your life when you have to face the reality you're spending eternity in hell. You know, man wants to mock Christ. They want to laugh at God. They think they can live apart from God. But the truth of the matter is that all mocking of Christ will cease when he comes again. Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah." Man, that's a good one. I like that. They're saying hallelujah. Why? Because salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. They're acknowledging the fact there's no mocking of their Savior. There's no mockery of their God, but rather he receives glory and honor and power. Why? Because he is the one who has brought salvation to us. Verse 2 says, "And true and righteous are his judgments." People say, "I don't think God is a loving God. I don't think God is a gracious God. I don't think God's right in his judgments." I'm going to tell you one thing. When Jesus comes again, there'll be no questioning the righteous judgments of God. He says, "For he hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah!" And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." Pretty good church service going on there, amen. Says that a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." I'm just saying this. When Christ comes again, there'll be no laughter. There'll be no mockering. There'll be no refusing, because the reality is, when they see him in his glory, there'll be such a celebration in reference of all that he is. The mockery will be gone. But not just that, he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." There's going to be a different response when Jesus comes again. And so he also, his first coming was that he came as the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. The first coming of Christ was in reference to him coming to be the sacrificial lamb. However, the second time he comes, he's coming again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, and it says, "And out of the one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And those seven seals are the seven judgments of God. And there's only one that has the ability, the right, and the power to bring the eternal judgment of God on man, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the judge that shall judge all the earth. His first time he came, the religious leaders shouted, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Well, the amazing thing is, the second time he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There'll be not one person from eternity past to eternity future that will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." I was listening to a preacher the other day, and they were talking about nowadays there's a lot of Christian preachers that are starting to say, "Well, we call God our God Allah." We don't call our God Allah. Our God is Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. I don't know why in the world we constantly think we got to bend our knee to the world and to false religion. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was mocked and ridiculed. And yes, you might be mocked and ridiculed, but one day sitting in power and glory on this earth. Why? That at the name of Jesus, not Allah, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven and things in earth and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You bring no glory to God the Father unless you exalt the name of Jesus Christ. So you can compare the comings of Christ, the first coming and the second coming of Christ, quite different of what it's going to be. The world is going to be shocked because they're going to see him come in the clouds in great glory, and they are going to be moved under the judgment and almighty hand of God. They shall see the Son. So there's a conscious coming. People will be aware of it. There were people aware of it before. Everyone will be aware of it when the future. There's comparing of his coming. The way he came first is completely different from the way that he's going to come second. Everybody wants to have such a passive God, and everybody wants to paint God into some corner where God doesn't have his power and majesty. But the reality is, you'll not be limiting one aspect of all the power and identity of who Christ is when he comes again. Well, there's the confident coming. Because then our text verse says, "They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Confident coming. He came in humility. We know that. We've said it several times. We read several verses. We'll read another one. Philippians 2:8. "And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He came in humility, but hallelujah, he will come in great glory. That's what our text verse tells us. He's coming with power and great glory. Not only that, but he will come heralded by the angels of heaven. I mean, the angels of heaven are around the throne continually, day and night, singing praises and glory unto the Son of God. But when he comes again to receive us up in the glory, says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout," and here it is, "with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I mean to tell you, when he comes into this world again, he's going to be heralded by the angels of heaven. You know, they herald the coming of Christ when he came at his birth. There was glory in heaven. The heavens were filled with the glory of angels worshiping and praising God. Well, when he comes again, there's going to be the shout. There's going to be the excitement. There's going to be the glory of heaven descending upon this world. Not only that, but he'll be coming accompanied by his saints. I like this. Jude 1 and 14 says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." I mean, what a day it's going to be when we come back with the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes to do battle at the Battle of Armageddon. And we come riding, as it were, on the great steeds of heaven, and we don't do anything at all. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks and they are consumed and they're destroyed. And he's coming with his saints. I'm thankful that we're going to be with him. But not only that, but he will come in answer to man's longings. He'll come in answer to man's longings. Revelation 22:20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." John, when he understood all that Christ is, all that he would accomplish, all that he would complete and fulfill when he came back into this world, John's response was this: "Okay, Lord, amen, let it be so. Even so come, Lord Jesus." He was ready for the return of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, I'm ready for the return of Christ. I'm ready for the Lord Jesus to come. I want to have that conscious awareness of his coming when he comes. If it's the rapture, that's okay with me. Amen. I'm not looking for the old preacher said, don't look for the undertaker, look for the upper taker. Amen. And we're looking for the Lord to take us to glory. And as you see these things taking place in the world, it causes us to take heart and take courage because of the fact that very quickly the Lord Jesus is going to come. Because it says in our text where we read in Matthew 24, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things," when you see all these things, "know that it is near, even at the doors." I mean, we are literally standing on the precipice of the coming of Jesus Christ. This world is so out of whack. They couldn't get something right if their life depended upon it, and their life does depend upon it, and they can't get it right. Now, you look at what's going on, and this world is a major stage that is being set up for the coming of Christ. It's amazing. It's alarming to see what is going on, and people wholeheartedly are running after it. And it's an amazing thing. I thought it was kind of interesting because I was reading the thing about biometric identification in airports now. And they have this ability, you check in with your passport or whatever, and your picture is run, and everywhere you go, they know who you are and where you're at. And people say, "Well, you have to be getting the mark of the beast and now the coming of Christ and tribulation period and all that." I don't believe any of that stuff. Let me tell you, the technology is already in place to control the masses of people that are in the world. And the attitude of people are, "Yes, go ahead and take care of me." And you say, "Why in the world is the world acting like this?" Because of the fact, when you see these things taking place, realize the coming of the Lord is near. And you say, "Well, how close is it?" It says, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You say, "How do I study? How do I understand? How do I comprehend the coming of Christ?" Read the Bible and look at the condition in the world when Noah's flood happened. And then you take and look at the condition in the world that we live in, and you have to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is preparing to come. And my desire and cry out is with John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." They shall see him, the Son of God, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. There were many who refused to see Christ when he was on this earth, when he was born. There were many that he presented himself to, and they rejected him. There were many who absolutely refused to acknowledge that the Messiah, prophecies of the Messiah, were fulfilled in Christ. And the sad thing is, there are multitudes of people today who want to live their life refusing to see the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better realize this morning. Now, when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the King of Kings being here. We're celebrating Emmanuel, God with us. And this is not just some paper religion that we put together. This is a relationship with a living God that this world needs to know who He is. He is the one who can make a difference in somebody's life. This world, it is corrupting people, destroying people, but we certainly can find victory through faith in this one who came into this world. And so let's do this. If you're not sure you're saved today, when we pray and we sing this song, why don't you come and we'll show you how to be saved. As a Christian, you're struggling right now. You're bouncing back and forth. You don't know which way to go. You don't know how committed you ought to be. You don't know how easy you ought to be. You don't know what your focus should be. The world is corrupting your mind, your thought process. Why don't you just say this morning to the Lord? Lord, I'm surrendering it all to You. I'm acknowledging there's awareness that needs to be in my heart of the reality of the person of God being here with me at this very moment. And God, I'm giving my life totally, completely to You because I know the reality is I'm going to see You as You are. And Lord, I want to be able to stand before Your presence and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for allowing us to be together this morning. Lord, I appreciate the fact that You revealed Yourself to so many when You walk on the face of this earth. I'm thankful, Lord, You revealed Yourself to those after the resurrection, confirm in their hearts the reality that You are the resurrection and the life. God, I'm thankful that every promise that has been made and every prophecy that has been revealed about the return of Christ, we can see it rapidly unfolding before our eyes. And so, God, I prayed You'd speak to us in a special way this Christmas. Lord, we have a message of hope. Lord, we have a message that we have a God who is real. And God, I pray that we would take every opportunity that we have to tell every person we come in contact with about the reality of the coming of Christ. They're going to see You. They're going to see You. They're not going to escape seeing You. And so, Lord, help us to impress this on others. Lord, speak to our hearts in a special way. If someone's not saved, may they come and receive You this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's